care and treatment.
Don't miss the St. Louis Men's Expo this Saturday and Sunday at St. Charles Convention Center. There'll be outdoor products, campers, RVs, cars, trucks, and much more. Admission and parking are free. See stlmens-expo.com for show info.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center for great deals on America's most trusted battery, DieHard. Plus, take advantage of a free battery check. Visit Sears Auto Center today.
Hit the B Square.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by ORIC, 7 locally owned and operated home centers in the St. Louis area. ORECK.com. ORIC.com is the website. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me, and that music means Joe Hipperson is here as well. Hello, Joe.
Oh, yes. Hey, Joe. Yes, yes, yes. Paul Harris, how are you, sir?
I have a quick announcement for people who are visiting our town for the weekend, who are here maybe for the first time. This is how our weather always is, and you should come here as often as you can in late July, August, and early September.
Yes.
Because a 72-degree, clear, blue sky day with no humidity is pretty much how we have it all. Don't buy those lies about, oh, it's perfect in San Diego. They have more humidity in San Diego than they know what to do with. It's here in St. Louis that we're dry and perfect summertime days like this. So please come back as often as you can.
You know what? In July and parts of August, we're like this.
That's what I'm saying. It's always like this.
That's what he just said.
In July and August. Not parts of, but every single. In fact, I can't remember the last hot, humid day. It's probably been 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, Dan, if you listen to the show while we're doing it, you can follow along.
Oh. I was listening to Fresh. Sorry.
I didn't know we had buttons on your headphones for other radio stations.
Yeah.
That was a good announcement. That was good stuff.
Okay. So Joe, there are a couple of movies opening this weekend. You've seen one. I've seen one. I'm going to let you start with yours because I haven't even heard of this movie until you told me today that you were going to be reviewing it. Insidious. Chapter 2.
Yes. Insidious Chapter 2. I almost said Poltergeist 2 because I thought I was watching Poltergeist 2 when I'm watching Insidious 2.
Yeah?
Look, it's really simple. By now, if you wanted to see this movie, you have seen the first one.
Okay? When did Insidious Chapter 1 come out?
It was within the last 2 years. It's one of those movies that nobody expected it to do anything. And then the Redbox market went crazy. This thing was a huge rental. It was really scary. There was this one creepy monster ghost thing that kind of looked like Darth Maul on Episode 1, if you want my perfect opinion. So for me, it was kind of hard to find it really all that scary. A lot of teens dug this movie, and so they fast-tracked the sequel. The sequel follows the first film, and I'm going to give away the first film. It doesn't really matter. A kid has his spirit taken into this netherworld where all the ghosts are at. Kind of like Poltergeist. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The dad has to go into that world to retrieve the soul of his son. Kind of like the mom did in Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in part two, the dad has returned from this world to saving his son's life, so the ghost got a taste for the dad. Now they're after the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reminded me of how Poltergeist 2 was set up. Only problem is, this movie isn't scary. In fact, and on purpose, I've read interviews with the director, it's kind of funny. They really do try and go for humor more than they go for scares.
Now, wait a second. You had a movie that wasn't a huge hit initially, but then when it got onto the rental market, the DVD red box market, as you call it, it became a hit because it was an out-and-out horror movie. And then Hollywood said, let's make a sequel to that because that made money, but let's not do the same thing in any way. That way we'll guarantee we make money? Wait a minute.
Now, you could applaud the idea of not rehashing the same film, but then when you realize the whole story arc is someone is being tempted by ghosts, trying to be stolen by them. They're going to end up in this ghost world, exactly like the first film. You realize it's just a big retread. And what happens is by doing they're not going to see it coming if we make certain moments actually kind of funny. By doing that, when the scary stuff happens, there's too much levity. There's no tension in the movie whatsoever.
Mm.
So as you're watching the father, who does an okay job at displaying, I just am not the same as I was. It's decent the first time. But then about 12 times in, and you realize, it's another scene where the family's like, Dad, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? I'm not the same since that thing happened. it just gets repetitive and old. You're dying for a scare to show up, but then when it does, it's really just not as creepy as you think it should be. The only legitimate scares, and I say that sarcastically, that this movie has, would be the creaking door opening without a hand helping it, or the sudden bang, loud noise. You don't know where it came from. And it always happens when there's no music build up, so it really scares you. So if you want to act like you're, I don't know, popcorn getting popped and you're bounced out your seat a couple times during a film, that's what you should see. No one's going to listen to what I say, though, because they've rented the first one or they own the first one. It's this big cult hit. You're all going to go out and see it if you really want to.
Is this
going to
be a hit?
It's going to make it, I would say that this will take the weekend box office, no question whatsoever.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I would say a modest $18 to $20 million this weekend, and it'll take the top spot. But it sucks. I'm just being straight up with you. Insidious 2 gets a massive 1 on my scale of 1 to 10.
Wow. I haven't heard a 1 in a long time.
Well, I've been way too nice to these bad movies. This has to stop. It just really, really does.
Well, you know what? If we're going to talk bad movies, let me talk about the other one that's opening this weekend.
Are you serious?
This is a movie that I know you have been looking forward to. It's called The Family. It's got Robert De Niro. It's got Michelle Pfeiffer. It's got Tommy Lee Jones. Nothing wrong with any of the three of those, except Tommy Lee Jones easily falls into the same rut of being the authority figure that he's been in too many movies. And Robert De Niro essentially has two career roles that he plays now. It's either that making fun of himself a little bit in the Meet the Fockers kind of roles and this, all those sequels, or some version of his mafia guy that he has played in at least a dozen movies now, if you include Analyze This and Analyze That, not to mention the real mafia movies like Godfather 2 and Goodfellas.
Casino and
all those other Scorsese movies. Well, Scorsese is one of the executive producers of this movie. And I'm sure he called up Bobby and said, look, we have somebody. We need to cast somebody in this role. I think he'd be perfect for it. And De Niro probably said, what is it? And here's the plot. Robert De Niro is a guy who was in the mob and decided to squeal. He squealed on them and then was put into the witness protection program. And they've been moved around to a couple of different places in France. Well, first they were in Paris, then they were in on the Riviera, and now they're being moved to another place in Normandy, because wherever they go, they create trouble because they can't get rid of their mafia mentality. He was a brutal mafia mob guy. Michelle Pfeiffer was a brutal mafia wife, and they have two teenage kids who are taken after mom and dad very, very well. So now they're moved to this quiet little town in Normandy, France, and set up there by the FBI or the Marshal Service or whoever it is, who I guess it's the Marshal Service that handles the witness protection program. And they are put there, and it doesn't take long for them to start creating trouble in their town.
But this was directed and written by Luc Besson. I mean, the guy who did The Professional. I mean, we're talking about an A-list director, really.
He wrote it?
Yes.
He directed it?
Yes.
He blew it.
Really?
Yes.
I hate getting ticked off when you hate a movie. I'm so mad now. I
know how much you were looking forward to this. Here now a little clip of De Niro and Pfeiffer in action.
All right.
Nothing much. Just the prospect of packing up again and moving when they find out you killed the plumber.
I didn't kill him. I took him to the hospital.
Why'd you beat him to a pulp? He's the only plumber within a radius of 20 miles.
But he disrespected us, and he made you wait on him, honey.
Jeez, honey, I survived.
And you know, the guy was trying to rip me off, so put yourself in my shoes.
Well, I definitely wouldn't have beat him up. I mean, who's going to fix the pipes now?
Well, who's going to rebuild the supermarket that burned down the day we got here? Huh?
Wait a minute. Wait, please. Did you hear what I just heard? Because I heard Robert De Niro, and I heard Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard really over-the-top mob accents, but then I heard Michelle Pfeiffer, and then I heard Robert De Niro. Did you not notice that?
No, you're exactly right.
Where's the consistency?
That
was just a clip.
I'm playing this particular clip for you as an example of one of the problems with this movie. I actually think that Michelle Pfeiffer does a pretty good job of playing the exact same role she did in Married to the Mob with Matthew Modine, and kind of a little bit of the same role she did in Scarface with Al Pacino. She can pull off the mafia chick. And that's what I'm going to have to call her here, even though she's now a middle-aged woman. That's she's the mall, and she pulls it off pretty well, and she's okay in this movie. She may be the bright spot in an otherwise very dark movie.
Now, you say dark, but I thought they were going for levity, right? They were going to try and make it kind of funny.
Yeah, that was the comedy right there. Did you get the laughs?
I didn't kill him. I took him to the hospital.
The hospital. Don't tell me again, Joe. You'll kill me. It is so freaking funny, except for one thing. It's not funny at
now,
all.
From reviewing films.
Yes.
Do you believe that you were watching a film they thought would be a funny film with some action in it, or mm-hmm. were you watching, or mm-hmm. do you think they wanted mm-hmm. it to be a mob movie mm-hmm. that sometimes mm-hmm. got funny?
Mm-hmm. They were going for comedy.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's the mistake then.
Mm-hmm. It's also a movie that has been done before and also wastes the talents of the people who were involved here. Again, I think De Niro had the clutch in and Tommy Lee Jones had the clutch in, and the only one, as I say, who's making an effort is Michelle Pfeiffer, and the kids also. The blonde daughter is played by somebody from Glee who my wife knows and I don't know. But I will tell you this. My wife and I went to the premiere the other night, the screening of it the other night, and I told her along the way, I'm sorry. Before we went, got to the movie theater, I said, I'm sorry. I have a bad feeling about this. And on the way out, she gave me the look that says, why did you take me to this? And I said, before she said anything, I said, I told you ahead of time, I'm sorry. She hated this movie. Plus, by the way, in addition to trying to get the comedy and getting it wrong, there's a lot of violence in this. People get the crap beat out of them in a way you would not expect to see in a comedy. If you went to see Analyze This, remember with Billy Crystal and Robert De Niro, Lisa Kudrow, and some of the other people who were in that? That had elements of comedy in it, but nobody really, really got the crap absolutely beat out of them on screen to a pulp.
No, it was all inferred. It was referenced.
Exactly. Or you may see somebody being shot, but you don't see it being disgusting. This movie has those elements to it. And it's just, it's wrong. It's just wrong.
Do you think people that are French, right? I'm just asking because you got a French director filming in France.
Yeah.
Do you think there was just too much France-ness going on? And
I don't know why you can't make this movie in the United States of America. Well, why do they have to go into witness protection program in France? I don't understand.
I'm really confused because, like you said, all the elements are there. It seems to make sense that this could be very, very good.
And they try to play up the culture clashes between these Italian Americans and the local French citizens there, and that doesn't work either. And I'm disappointed because I like all of these people.
And when people that you really like and you know they have it in them to do a good film, and it could potentially be a good film, it's almost like you're jaded towards them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes,
it's like. I'm now bummed out. I'm depressed now. I was like, three?
Giving it a 3 out of 10.
What do you give Analyze This? Let's pretend Analyze That never came out.
Okay. If you take away the sequel, right. I give the original Analyze This an 8.
See, so do I. And a lot of people that I talk to are like, oh, no, it's just too cheesy. It's just too lame. It really isn't. It's a funny R-rated mob movie funny.
There's two people who make that movie, and it's neither Billy Crystal nor Robert De Niro, although they're both very, very good in their parts. It's the small roles played by the guy who played Jelly, the big fat guy. Joe Vitarelli is that actor's name. He's funny. He makes the movie. And also Chaz Palminteri as the other mob boss who wants to kill Robert De Niro.
Because he plays it for real.
Yes!
Right.
Exactly right. In this, I don't want to give away too much of the plot here, but let's just say that when you're in the witness protection program and you squealed on the mob is going to keep trying to find you. And of course, you don't have a movie if they don't eventually figure out where you are. And you have a gunfight at the end, right? I mean, did I just tell you anything you didn't know?
No.
And that's another problem with this movie. I could sit here right now and we could actually make a top 10 list of the things, plot points that should not be in the movie. They're all in the movie.
All right. Now, I have a good friend who also does movie reviews here and there. He hit me up and didn't spoil anything on the movie, but he referenced that there was a movie reference in the film. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because if what he was alluding to does exist.
Yes.
It's almost like a paradox of Terminator proportions.
Yes, and it takes you out of the movie. It's another bad choice by the director and the people who are involved in this. And I'm not going to give that away for people who may go see it. But it is a moment in the movie that where you go, really? That's what you had to do? No, bad choice. Bad choice. 3 out of 10.
Wow.
Sorry.
That surprises me, man.
Now, I will mention something else De Niro related, because you brought it up on this show a few months ago. You said that De Niro is making a movie with Sylvester Stallone called Grudge Match.
Tell me you saw the trailer.
I saw the trailer.
I would love to know what you think, because I think I've watched it about 27 times.
Well, you obviously love it if you've watched it 27 times.
I'm stoked.
I actually got sad.
What?
I did.
What do you mean?
Tell people what the Grudge Match is about.
You got two boxers. Basically, Stallone and De Niro are playing extensions of their boxing people that they've done before, but they're
Rocky Balboa and maybe Jake LaMotta.
Right, but these are completely different characters, but they're both ex-boxers. They never had their rematch fight.
They fought twice. One guy won one guy won the other, and they never had their third
grudge match. So they're making a video game. Now, if this kind of sounds Rocky Balboa-ish, it kind of is. They're doing a video game, so they have to do that really silly motion capture thing where you wear this bizarre suit and you have to capture how you fight and what you do, and they got to capture your voice. Well, they make the mistake of having both boxers accidentally get there at the same time, both in their suits. De Niro kind of takes a jab unnecessarily at Stallone, and suddenly there's a big brawl with these two old guys in these weird suits. Somebody YouTubes it, and it becomes a huge phenomenon, and then you get their grudge match, basically. And
now they're going to really fight for real, and that's the plot of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think the entire reason they wrote this script was to get Stallone and De Niro into those motion capture suits? You know, the green suits with what look like little white cotton balls all over them? You've seen them in any behind-the-scenes special effects movie with green screen. Do you think the entire reason that somebody came up with that concept and pitched it, in the pitch meeting you said, look, even if the rest of the movie sucks, we have De Niro and Stallone in those green cotton ball suits?
No, I think the pitch goes like this. You're a Hollywood guy? Great. How about this? Rocky versus Raging Bull. We can make it happen. Just always do is write the right script, right? I mean, come on, that's...
Yeah, because Stallone has nothing else going on in his life except The Expendables Part 15, eventually. right? He has no other good movies that he's made in a
There's
long time.
There's a Rambo TV series being developed.
He's going back to the same characters, is my point.
He just wrote a film that's got Jason Statham in it. Something, Homeland something or other. And he's not a star, not even in the film, and he just wrote it. He is a good writer. He wrote Rocky, okay? He's got it in him to be a really good writer, in my opinion. This movie looks like... It looks like it's going to be another Star Wars experience for me where I get all excited because I know I want to see a lightsaber. I want to hear the theme, you know, whatever it might be. I just really want to know what it's going to look like to see Stallone and De Niro box.
I guarantee you, I'm going to predict right now, I guarantee you in this prediction, you've already seen all the good moments from the movie in the trailer.
No way, because they didn't show you any of the fight. Are you telling me that this movie is going to do this thing where right at the very end they decide not to fight or they don't show the fight?
I think perhaps there will be a fight, but it will not look good.
Really?
These guys are in their 60s.
Almost 70.
70 years old.
Yeah.
We don't want to see septuagenarians fighting.
I think they should both knock each other out.
At the same time.
Like, at the same time.
Yeah, like Rocky II style, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you know what? All right, we got the movie right here. Neither one of them get up.
Grudge Match 2.
No, but they don't get up. They don't get up. That's the point, is they can't defeat each other.
Or they're dead.
Yeah. The only thing...
They both die at the movie, and now you can't have Grudge Match 2.
I'm still optimistic about this. I really am, man. I can still remember the very first time that a photo from the set was tweeted or whatever it was. I mean, it was months and months ago.
I love when you get your expectations up because then you end up with a good day to Die Hard.
Oh, man.
You know what? I'm not going to get excited anymore.
I know how to get them, don't I?
Yeah, I meet people, and they you're the guy from the radio. You're always really excited. You've depressed me so much today.
Sorry.
I mean, you're just taking a whiz all over the things I'm looking forward to.
You hit him right below the belt there.
I'm sorry. Well, while we're speaking of Stallone, a friend of mine who knows people in the entertainment business, he works in the entertainment business himself. I can't say too much about him, but he wrote...
Is it Frank Stallone?
He wrote something on his website this week that said that Sly is going to show up next month at the New York Comic Con to promote Grudge Match, I assume, because it's coming out, right? Part of the promotional thing. While he's there, people can get his autograph or get their picture taken with him. How much do you think you have to pay to get Sylvester Stallone's autograph at the New York Comic Con?
I know how much I paid for Stallone's autograph on eBay about 12 years ago.
How much?
So I'm going to go with that and say $60. That's my guess.
Ian?
Oh, man. I say $120.
Dan?
Oh, I don't know. I would say right around $120.
$395.
What?
Oh, for Stallone's autograph?
Wait, just for
the autograph.
And
if you
picture.
If you want the picture, that'll cost you another $445. Now, that picture will be taken professionally, and you'll get an 8x10 of you and Sylvester Stallone. $445.
Shut down, man. That's just wrong. That's wrong. $500?
Now, let's just talk about the ethics of this for just a sec. Well, maybe ethics isn't the right word, but the business choice involved in this. Now, I know that when you're I don't know from my own experience, but I understand that when you're a big movie star, people will pay $60 to get your autograph on eBay or $100 or a photo of you or whatever it is. And there are plenty of people who go to these things hoping to get autographs or pictures cheap, and then they turn around and go on eBay and sell them, right? I mean, there's a whole aftermarket in that in this country in celebrity memorabilia and paraphernalia. Okay, if you're a celebrity as big as Sylvester Stallone and you know that people are going to do that wherever you show up, do you charge out what I consider to be outrageous amounts of money and thus risk pissing off people who really like you and would just like your autograph because they like you? Because this guy's making how much money do you think for Grudge Match? $10 million? $15 million?
He was once part of the 20 million club for a brief moment.
Okay. But he certainly is still in the eight-figure club. He's making at least $10 million a movie for The Expendables and for this, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, because he's writing them. He's got back-end deals like crazy.
So even if he sells 1,000 of these things, that's not even $500,000 for him.
Wait, what about a charitable organization? Maybe they're going towards something. Think about that.
They're going towards his agent and the people who put the whole thing together and the people who run the event. Everybody's going to take their cut of this. It's not all going to Stallone. I would bet you of that $395 for the autograph, Stallone maybe walks away with half of it.
All right, well, here's the reason why this is a bad move. You're right. You're going to tick off fans because fans, they forgave the first Expendables. It was really bad. There were terrible special effects. Stallone had to do everything himself to make it happen. He had to direct it. I mean, it was a very low-budget experiment, right? But fans came back. We've seen Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, right? But he can still open a movie. We will forgive Bullet to the Head.
Oscar.
It's my guilty pleasure.
Okay.
You know that. It also has Tim Curry, another guilty pleasure. I don't know why.
Fine.
Point is, we'll forgive the bad movies, but a move like this... So what am I going to do if I just happen to be on vacation and Stallone just happens to be there and I'm a big fan? I want to go and be like, hey, Sly, man, it's great to see you. Is he going to be, I can't do anything?
Well, that brings up the other part.
It's a precedent.
This is what my friend brought up in his blog online. He said, I know a couple of people who have had this professional dilemma. In one case, they were asked to come to an autograph show. There are specific autograph shows in Hollywood and elsewhere around the country. In fact, I think when they had the Comic-Con here at the Dome a couple of months ago, we had Henry Winkler on the show talking about it when he was going to be there. And they do charge for autographs. It could be $50 or $100 or I guess now we know quadruple that in Stallone's case. You go and you do those things, okay, and then you're out somewhere and some person, whether it's Joe Hipperson or some little girl, comes up, oh, I love your work. Will you autograph this for me? Are you going to say to her, no, because I didn't get $395 from you or $75 from you? And then in the case of this guy that my friend knows, he's writing a book about his career. And he knows that once that book gets published, he's going to go on a book tour, and he's going to go into bookstores, and people are going to buy the book and come over, and he's going to autograph that book. And those people are going to spend $20, $25, $30 for his book. But what about all the people who paid $75 for his autograph before? Are they going to go, hey, how come they get a book and your autograph for $30 and I paid $75 for your handwriting on a napkin?
Maybe it's very legible, the signature for $500 or whatever it is. Maybe it's not all scribbly.
It's written by one of those expensive pens we were talking about last hour. He uses a Mont Blanc.
And maybe he addresses a personal little thing on there. Let's not forget, you're going to get your picture taken with. I mean, come on. It sucks.
Joe, thanks for being a fan.
I wonder.
Sly.
The man that's it for free, he'll sign Sly. Yeah, but if you pay, he signs Sylvester Stallone. That's what you're getting, man. You're paying for the letters.
I wonder if his handwriting is more legible than his voice. Would have to be by definition, wouldn't it?
There's no way of me proving that I have Stallone's autograph, even with the certificate of authenticity or whatnot that I got, because his autograph is it's horrible. It's bad.
Couple of other movie things. There's news now about Disney and Star Wars. What is it?
The chief financial officer announced yesterday that, and a lot of us dorks kind of already knew this, but we didn't get it concrete. And it's got me a bit worried, because 2015 is when we're going to get Star Wars Episode 7. Very, very excited. J.J. Abrams is going to direct. There's probably going to be a billion lens flares in a galaxy far, far away, because that's all the guy knows how to do in space. But they announced that in between every episode, okay, 7, 8, and 9, there's going to be a standalone movie. So there will be a movie, a Star Wars film will be released every single year starting in 2015. And if I do my math right, that means that by 2024, every year from 15 to 24, we're going to get a new Star Wars film.
Now, let me just stop you for a second here. Because I saw the first three, the original Star Wars, and then Empire Strikes Back, and then Return of the Jedi. Is that the order of the first three?
That was four, five, and six.
And then I tried to watch Episode 1, but I thought it was horrible, and I didn't care, and so I never went on to 2 and 3. But now they're going to skip ahead, and this will be the final trilogy of 7, 8, and 9.
Yes.
Where will these other intermediate movies come in the lineage of Star Wars history?
They're going to be called standalone stories. And it was confirmed yesterday by the chief financial guy. They're going to be origin stories. Now,
origin before Jar Jar Binks, chapter one?
Origin, to me, is no different than prequel, okay? And they're going to be origin stories of favorite fan characters. I mean, favorite.
Ooh, here's how the Ewoks grew up.
No, man. There's a 99% lock. It's 99% confirmed. The first standalone film will be all about Han Solo, which is a huge, massive mistake. The other one is going to be on Boba Fett, and Yoda is going to get his own movie, too.
Why is that a mistake?
Because why do we need to know where Han Solo was before he meets up with Luke Skywalker? Who really cares? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Another reason that it is just, okay, this idea sucks massive eggs, and the reason is because I know no matter what happens in the Han Solo origin story, all right, it's not going to be as good as my imagination. And two, no matter what perilous thing he finds himself in, or what battle he's suddenly engaged in, or what bad guy he's fighting, he can't get hurt, and he can't die. Otherwise, it would negate everything else.
Correct.
So that's why prequels are huge mistakes, because our imagination is always going to be better than what we get.
Well, he could die, but he could be brought back by the magical powers of Chewbacca.
He's not magic.
Thank you. Look, always good to have you on the show, Chewie.
There's something seriously wrong with over-explanation, all right? They're going forward with Episode 7, 8, 9, which means we're going forward with characters we know. Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill. You'll see them in the next trilogy as their favorite. I mean, I'm really stoked about that part, but it really bites when they try and over-explain things. Every time there's a prequel or an origin story, the question is, why? If you've got a character that's solid and people like him, move forward with him. Don't have a good day to Die Hard, but have a good journey somewhere and whatever it might be. There was at one time talks of doing a Die Hard prequel, and I'm so not kidding. The Die Hard prequel turned into a comic book that nobody bought. When you can move forward, move forward. Don't do origin stories anymore. There's only one origin / prequel, whatever you want to call it, that in my opinion worked, and that was Casino Royale. Outside of that, I can't see, because look, the Star Trek reboot, you can say it works, but it's so contingent on what already happened that they're not really rebooting anything.
Yeah,
they're just kind of changing names a little. Hey, oh, and the original ones, he stood there, so switch spots with him. Mm-hmm. Ooh, look at that.
Yeah.
So
now let me ask you: you said that Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher are going to be in chapters 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, I would bet the I would bet everything on that.
Harrison Ford is 71 years old.
Yes,
the new movie's not going to come out until he's 73, and then there's going to be 9 more years of Star Wars movies, and so we expect him to be Han Solo into his 80s?
Smart money is on Han Solo dying in Episode 7, because that's the one thing Harrison Ford wanted more than anything else when he was doing the original trilogy.
Okay.
He said, look, I've got no family. You don't know anything about my character. I'm fighting this suicide mission to destroy an empire just because I really want to, you know, get lay in bed is all I really want to do. And I think my character should die because at the end of Empire Strikes Back, the big downer, Luke loses a hand. We find out shocking stuff. We don't even know if Han Solo's alive. He's encased in carbonite. So the idea would be, well, what's the next downer? How do we trump that? Mm. And it was supposed to be Han Solo's death.
Mm-hmm.
But George Lucas said no because he wanted to sell more toys. I'm dead serious. And that's been a sore spot between Harrison Ford and George Lucas ever since, because even the writers said, We've got to kill him. Someone's got to die, and this is a proper space opera. You've got to have death. It can't just be the good guys winning and everything. I mean, look, you can't set up a meal and not deliver a great dessert. You can't have one guy lose a hand in one episode. I mean, maybe this guy's dead, and the double-crossing Lando Calrissian. And by the way, I'll never forgive Billy Dee Williams, okay? Yeah, Han Solo gets totally hosed over by his friend, all right? But then Lando decides, oh, I'm going to be a good guy, and he double-crossed the guy, and what do we see? He takes the guy's ship, and he's wearing his clothes. At the end of Empire Strikes Back, Billy Dee Williams is wearing Han Solo's clothes.
And drinking a Colt 45, which I thought was unnecessary product placement.
If the guy's dead or gone, and you just hosed him over, don't wear his clothes, okay?
Sounds to me like you're kind of looking forward to 7, 8, and 9, but not to the ones in between.
I'm not looking forward to the fact that I'm going to see each and every one of them, because I have to. Mm-hmm. It's an addiction, and I cannot not see a Star Wars film, but I don't want any more origins or prequels or whatever it is. Do a standalone Boba Fett movie and tell me, oh yeah, he was in the Sarlacc, but he hit that one gun and he got out through the rear end of the Sarlacc. It's great. Fine. Tell me where he went from there. Move forward and not backward. It's just ridiculous. And it's going to confuse the heck out of kids, because they're going to be watching these Star Wars movies going forward in time, and then they're going to be watching these standalone films that go back in time. It's too much. Disney is going to really, really tick off a lot of fans. There's going to be a Star Wars theme park. There's going to be tons of Star Wars rides. It's too much. The reason why Star Wars worked, and still does, is because when an episode came out, you had to wait 3 years for the next one. And then we had to almost wait 2 decades to get another series of, and you know what? Nowhere in 1992 was there not still a diehard Star Wars fan. That's my point. You're going to go over the top. You're going to overexplain, overindulge. You're going to burn people out.
The only one I'm looking forward to is Episode 9, where Luke Skywalker fights Rocky Balboa. That's going to be very exciting.
Is that a lightsaber?
No, it's a burrito.
This is just not fun. Okay. You're going to depress me again.
One other piece of movie news here. It was announced today that Woody Allen is going to get the Cecil B. DeMille Award at the Golden Globes when they're broadcast in January. What odds do you give that Woody Allen shows up to accept it?
Ooh.
1,000 to 1?
Yeah, you know what? You got a good point.
He's won an Academy Award and didn't show up to accept it. I think, right. In fact, he's won 2 Academy. The only time he ever showed up at the Academy Awards was after 9/11, when the Academy Awards were the next spring, and he showed up only to show a montage of movies that were made in New York, you know, because he was so associated with it. That's the only time he's ever shown up there. Never accepted an award in his career. He's not going to show up for the Golden Globes.
Well, if it were an honorary Oscar, I would say there's a good chance. But not for the Golden Globes. The Golden Globes is like it's like a TV dinner. Okay, right. It's an appetizer for the Oscars, but nobody really cares.
All right, so this weekend's movies we don't like: The Family, I don't like, and Insidious Chapter 2, you don't like. So we don't have any recommendations there. Do you have any recommendations for stuff that's streaming on Netflix?
Well, the only big drop today on Netflix, as far as what's streaming, is a movie called Love Actually, and I will tell you that it's one of my biggest guilty pleasures. Every single Christmas, I watch that like It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah,
I know that Frank always rags on him, but I think Hugh Grant is solid in the movie.
And I agree.
I think it's great, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. In fact, had it not been for that movie, nobody in America would really care who Bill Nye is. Nobody. And he wouldn't have gotten the chance to do tons of roles and now seriously make the money that an actor like him of his caliber should be making.
Yeah.
It was a very well-done film. It's one of those movies where, yes, there's a bunch of different stories, and yes, somehow they connect, but they don't over-cheese it, how they connect. They don't go too cheesy on it.
You've got Emma Thompson, you've got Alan Rickman, you've got Colin Firth, you've got, who am I leaving out here?
Kate Winslet. No. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Kira Knightley,
yeah.
Is in there. There's about at least a half a dozen big stars who are in this thing, and I agree with you, it's a terrific movie, particularly for the holidays.
Yeah, it's a great Christmas movie, but you know what? Hey, like we were pointing out earlier, it's a typical St. Louis day where it's nice and cold. It might be a little chilly tonight, as it always is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to get into the Christmas vibe. Yeah, Netflix, hit that thing because it's really, really good.
I'd say Love Actually, Notting Hill, and About a Boy, three pretty good Hugh Grant movies.
I would say that Bridget Jones' Diary, the first one, was also...
Yeah, it's not really his movie, though.
Yeah, but he steals it whenever he's in it.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Okay. The streaming thing I have to recommend to you is from an old friend of mine, comedian Kathleen Madigan, who is from St. Louis, who came through town and played the Peabody on her most recent tour, and now has a concert film that was done not in St. Louis but in Detroit, available for streaming on Netflix. It's called Madigan Again. It just came out this week. My wife and I watched it last night. We went to see Kathleen when she was at the Peabody.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we knew maybe half or two-thirds of the material that she was doing, but there's at least 20 to 25 minutes of material that she did in this that were not in her live show when she came through town. And if you are not a Kathleen Madigan fan, this will be a pretty good way for you to learn about how good she is. If you have streaming Netflix, I strongly recommend it. And in fact, Kathleen and I emailed back and forth yesterday. I'm going to be filling in for Frank next Tuesday. She's going to join us by phone from wherever the heck she is.
Wow. So, look at you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, if anybody likes to Google and find images and whatnot, and my son, Avery, is responsible for me now jumping back into the Whovian bandwagon, which means that I believe 3 hours of every day of my life is now spent watching episodes of Doctor Who via Netflix, and it's insane how far deep into this.
The show's been on the air for like 50 years, hasn't it?
The 50th anniversary special, I believe, is November 23rd. They just released the poster to tease the audience, and it is, if you're a Doctor Who fan, it's going to be an epic experience, all I'm going to say.
Okay, take your word for it, because I've never seen it. Let's go to the clubs this weekend.
All right, if you want to see a show or two, I've got some options. Tonight, Crooked Drivers playing 2720 Cherokee. Opposites Attack at FUBAR. Smokey Robinson at the Sheldon.
Really?
Yep. Junebug and Friends are over at the Pageant. Without MF Order at Pops. Still trying to figure that one out. The Reverbs are at the Gramophone. Falsetto Boy is at Lemons. Blackjack Billy at the Demo. Rat Rave over at the Heavy Anchor. And the Maple Jam Band is at the Wine Press. Tomorrow night, Terminal Romance playing over at Pops. Vinyl Bitchy is at 2720 Cherokee. The 12 to 6 Movement is at Blueberry Hill. Bastard and the Crows are playing at Lemons. The Night Grinders at the Blank Space. Plastic is at Patrick's. Michael Bublé is at the Scott Trade Center.
Look for your favorite Dan Strauss lookalike in the audience.
I will be really? There for that.
Yeah. Nice. Make It Out Alive is at Cicero's. The Pat Sajak Assassins at Mangia Italiano. The next band, three words, okay? The first word begins with K. So just keep that in mind when I tell you the name of the band. Knee, Grow, Please is at the Demo on Saturday night. It's actually very genius how they do that. Just saying.
I'm going to try going genius, but...
Well, okay. Well, because, you know, K-N-E...
Yeah, I understand.
For the people that are like, what? All right, there we go. Oh, and on Saturday, I did reference my son, Avery. Well, my son, Sean, is going to be joining us for his first rock concert ever on Saturday. We're going to go to his favorite band at the moment. We're going to see the Imagine Dragons show at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater with Silver Sun Pickups, Greek Fire, and Cage the Elephant. And last, but not least, what I should announce... Yes, I will be in attendance at Verizon Wireless tomorrow night. And if anybody would like my autograph, I will not charge you a dime.
Excellent.
Hey,
that's good.
Nice. In fact, if you ask me for my autograph, I might buy you a drink because I'm so blown out by it. Okay? Seriously, I don't expect it. All right, we got five.
That was a mistake right there.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
That was a broadcast error.
Yes, it was.
You really think people are going to come up and ask
me? It's okay.
Me?
You know what? We'll edit it out of the final version. Nobody will hear this.
Good idea. All right, five shows, five bands, one absolutely fake, and the other four absolutely real. Here we go. Homo Simpson. Saturday at Way Out Club, Black Panties. Friday, The Heavy Anchor. Catholic Guilt, Saturday at the Blank Space. Thunder Biscuit, Saturday at the Shanty. Dirty Beaches, Friday at Firebird.
Ian has been on fire lately, so we're going to let him go first.
I will say Homo Simpson.
Dan?
I like that one, too. I'm going to go Thunder Biscuit.
You are?
Yeah. I like the Homo Simpson, though. I think that might be it, but I like Thunder Biscuit.
It's got to be Homo Simpson.
You are absolutely correct, sir. Homo Simpson, a completely made-up band name. You could take it and use it for your group if you'd like. Just give me credit in the liner notes. That is going to do it for me. I'll talk to you next week. Joe Hipperson, Big 550 KTRS, Hip on Entertainment.
Brought to you by the 7 locally owned and operated Orrick Home Centers throughout the St. Louis area. You can also find them online at O-R-E-C-K. That's Orrick.com.
Let's get a look at traffic and head airborne right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
This report's brought to you by BP Driver Rewards. It's a new program that lets drivers like you save on quality BP gasoline just by using BP gasoline. Pick up a brochure at your local BP station for details and to join now. If you are traveling on westbound 40, you're going to be hosed, pretty hosed from, looks like the Science Center. You've got pockets of slow to stop and go areas all the way out to the Boone Bridge, a little heavy 94 through K. Southbound 270, you've got stop and go traffic from Page down through Doherty Ferry. Had a report of an accident or a stall, something blocking a lane on eastbound 44 at Ferry Road. Southbound 55, you were running slow from Cronelet through Bayless. They have reopened both the ramps, north and southbound on Bayless, where the recycling plant fire was. On westbound 70, running heavy from Cave Springs out through Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Eastbound 270, slow midway between Missouri Bottom and McDonald through New Flores. And downtown eastbound 40, that was heavy from Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report also brought to you by Coca-Cola and the Walmart Deli. Get an effortless meal from Walmart with a 2-liter Coke, 29-ounce market-side rotisserie chicken, and 2-pound potato salad for $10.50 or less. Tax, deposit, and CRV not included. With your Golden Oak Lending Airborne traffic, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-939-1348. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-939-1348. Again, get your free demo now, 1-800-939-1348. That's 1-800-939-1348.
For a country club quality lawn next spring, Top Dress with STA certified compost this fall from St. Louis Composting. Top dressing your lawn and garden with compost now rebuilds nutritional balance in depleted soil, increases soil aeration, and improves the drought resistance of plants. Visit one of their locations on both sides of the river for an array of STA certified compost, soil, or mulch products available by the bag or by the truckload. It's the healthy, all-natural diet for your garden and lawn. St. Louis Composting is stocked to meet all of your fall lawn and gardening needs. Visit the location closest to you or order online at stlcompost.com. That's stlcompost.com. St. Louis Composting, enriching the soil naturally since 1992.
There are neighborhoods in St. Louis that stand out above the rest, but none like the traditionally charming yet progressive community known as Webster Groves. Trees and flowers frame the beauty of this neighborhood, the friendliest shopping and dining destination in the area.
Milagro Modern Mexican, located in Old Webster Groves, offers chef-inspired Mexican food, which has earned them numerous awards as St. Louis's best Mexican restaurant. With traditional Mexican fare in a contemporary setting that's casual and family-friendly, they have great happy hour specials, amazing margaritas, local craft beer, and the best tequila selection in St. Louis. Milagro is open Tuesday through Sunday for lunch and dinner, and now open for Sunday brunch. To view their menus or to make a reservation, visit them online at milagromodernmexican.com.
Discover all of these treasures and more. They're just steps away from your car in Webster Groves, where you'll meet the nicest shopkeepers and business owners in the county. You can do more than you imagine in Webster Groves. For full details, go to webstergroves.org.
Warning. If you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it's faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. is available to settle your debt, too. You may reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-944-3778. That's 1-800-944-3778. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-944-3778. 1-800-944-3778. 1-800-944-3778.
Listen up, ladies. Right now, Bare Minerals is inviting you to participate in a special nationwide giveaway of the mineral makeup everyone's talking about. That's right. We want to let every woman try Bare Minerals' revolutionary foundation and fall in love with their skin again. This is an exclusive radio-only offer you don't want to miss. So call now. 1-800-400-4034. You've probably heard about Bare Minerals Foundation. It was quoted in Glamour Magazine as a magic eraser. Allure Magazine, InStyle, and Elle Magazines, and leaders in beauty continue to rave about how Bare Minerals Foundation is naturally radiant and good for your skin. We're letting as many women as possible try it, and you can be one of them. Bare Minerals, makeup so pure you can sleep in it. Experience the foundation that started the makeup revolution. Participate in this special opportunity to try Bare Minerals Foundation, and we'll also send you a free gift set. Just call 1-800-400-4034 now. Hurry, you don't want to miss this exclusive radio offer. 1-800-400-4034.
Hope. You should never be without it, especially when faced with the devastating news of a cancer diagnosis. St. Louis University Cancer Center gives its patients and their families the confidence they need by offering world-class care. Learn more at slucarecenter.org.
Football is back. For tailgating or watching at home, Reynolds, Hefty, and Johnsonville brands have a game-time winning lineup. Reynolds Wrap Foil, Reynolds Slow Cooker Liners, Hefty Waste Bags, Food Bags, Plates, and Cups, and the full juicy flavor of Johnsonville Brats. At Kroger, you'll find what you need to keep the fans full and happy. Stop by your neighborhood Kroger today and stock up for your tailgating party. Reynolds, Hefty, Johnsonville, and Kroger, the winning lineup for this football season. Kroger, more value for the way you live.
Fall is back, so hurry into JCPenney this weekend because there are PTAs and conference days, and somehow everyone's more confident in a new pencil skirt. Except for me, JCPenney.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS St. Louis.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. We're still in critical condition, says Boulder, Colorado Police Chief Mark Beckner, as many streets are still raging rivers. More rain is forecast.